Thank you. Hello, everybody. And hello to everybody who is tuned in or going to be tuned in from all over the globe. We say just welcome. Welcome. We love the way that you're seeking the Lord and the word of Lord, the Lord. We love that you're seeking truth. We love that you're seeking to be fed spiritually.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so important. And I want to say hello to Pastor and the family who I said has just gone fishing. Sometimes we just need to do that. And I'm just so happy for those of you who are here. And I had prayed driving down here, and I said, Lord, those who need to be here will be here. And those who listen to the word, your word still does what it's supposed to do. It goes to the ground, it goes back up, and it's still going to come down to do and to minister what you have done. Today, I've done an outline, just trusting that the Lord is just going to flow because he has so much to say. And today, I was already starting to weep when Jonathan was praying. I'm such a girl. But there's something for me that's so beautiful, especially to hear anybody pray. But also when you hear a man of God pray. And I often wonder what it would have been like just to listen to David and to peek in on that, because it's such poetry to me. And one of the areas that the Lord has been moving in with me, and something that happened not that long ago with Pastor gave me a prophetic word, and I was trying to describe it because I kept calling it prophetic poetry. And it was also the first time that I've ever received a word that I was able to quote it back word for word instantly. That's how much it just permeated my heart and my soul. And my memory, obviously, which was so beautiful. And as I pondered upon the word and the way that it came, Pastor often teaches about the expression of God. And I think up until that point, I had not yet experienced that to that level or that degree. So I was calling it prophetic poetry because that's what it felt like. And a friend had asked me, how would you describe that word? And I said, it was like warm raindrops that just kept flowing through my body. And every time that it just trickled down, the warmth got warmer and warmer. The expression of God, when you begin to step into that, is so, there's no words to describe when you enter into his expression, when he's expressing his heart to you. When he says, come away with me. When he says, come hide with me. When we're called and invited into the bridal chambers. It's the only way I know how to describe it. It will wreck you for sure. There's something on my heart, and I'm going to be speaking you tonight. You can all be seated. Thank you. I forgot about that. There's something that is so near and dear to my heart, because what I'm going to be speaking about tonight is something that I had to walk through. It is something that was a must for me in order to begin to transform my life, because there's only a few people in this world who really know where I was not that long ago. And I was in a place that I now call and speak about that I refer to as learned hopelessness. And I have a feeling a lot of you here, a lot of you watching, will be able to relate to the learned hopelessness. So part of what I'm going to be talking about tonight is these were encounters that I had with the Lord where I was hidden away with him, lost in time, lost in days, actually. And they're so precious. So I just began to make notes of how he speaks to me, how he teaches me, how he answers me. And we are in a time right now where the Lord is speaking so clearly and so incredibly. So if I was to name what I'm going to be speaking about tonight, and I learned it from Pastor, you know, usually we just don't name anything. But if I was to name this, I would name it Defining the Kingdom in Us. Defining the Kingdom in Us. I am going to introduce you to a level of understanding to the word defined that maybe you have never heard before. I hadn't. One of the things in this journey, in this process that the Lord has been taking me on, is to, I'm really into words right now, because I didn't, and I wasn't aware of how much I've lost so much meaning and definition to words. So now I crave it, to the point where I have installed as an app the Webster Dictionary from 1928. And what I love about that dictionary is it's a biblical principle in the words and how it explains it. So I'll go back and forth between the different dictionaries, because it brings words to life, and meaning will change your perception with things. And so we are in a time and in a space where the Lord is defining the kingdom, and we have power and dominion and authority to define the kingdom in us. But so many of us don't know this, and so many of us haven't experienced this. And I get that. I was there too. And now in my life, my encouragement is to let you know, if you knew where I was a few years ago and where I am now, you would say, how did you do this? And that's my heart. So as I'm going to be writing in my book began to start out being a testimony. And I threw away over 100 pages because I was bored with it by the time I finished that, because I had already dealt with so much. And I said, you know, there's times and spaces for our testimony, because the word says we are set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So there's so powerful with our testimony. But I realized the angst that was inside of me is I was more interested in teaching people how I got out of, from learned hopelessness, lost in my identity, lost as a woman, lost as a Christian, lost as a wife, lost as a business owner, and not functioning. I was actually not functioning. And how did I get from there to this life of abundance? And I remember one of the prayers, I got to a point, honestly, I was in my living room alone, and thank goodness, because it was one of those times. How many of you have ever just screamed just from the pain or for something that's inside? Well, this was one of those moments that I had, and I'll never forget what I said. I just screamed out loud, and I said, when do I get to start living my life? Because what I had learned, the things that we are hardwired in life, the good news is what we are actually hardwired for. And through our experience, through so many different things, whatever it is, intentional, not intentional, there's a lot of things and experiences we pick up along the way. And then those memories that are stored in our subconscious begin to hold us back and begin to cause delay and begin to not allow us into promised land, or why we're fasting, why we're praying, why we're walking around the walls of Jericho 7 times and our prayers aren't being answered. And some of the conclusions that we come in. So this is what I'm going to be talking about. So with the definition of to define, we also have the power, authority, and dominion to define our present as well as our future. And let me tell you, what it is that you do right now in your present is what is going to birth your future. And whether you think you can or think you cannot, either way, you're right. So as we go through this journey, this was in the Webster Dictionary of 1928, define, to determine, to decide. I love that. Define, to create with established rules or parameters. The whole entire Bible is a legal document, and it is filled with rules and parameters that'll keep us guided and to bring us into the promised land. They're not rules of restriction. They're not discipline, so to say, although there's times where the Lord will discipline us like a good father would. This is not what I'm talking about. Define also means to discover and to set forth the meaning of something. And what I love about this is the Lord began to speak to me over the weekend, and he began to talk to me about this unusual word, define. And I'm like, okay, so of course, the first thing I did was look it up to make sure that I had a different perspective on what the word really, really meant. And what the Lord began to show me, he began to talk to me about Adam. And he said, daughter, the first thing I did with Adam is I put him in the garden for something for him to do. The first thing I asked him to do was to define the animals. So what he did is that's the first time where we learn about co-laboring with the Lord, co-creating with the Lord. Adam walked into this right into the beginning of co-creating, which is what we are called to do. But sometimes not knowing the power, dominion, and authority that lies inside of us because of our experiences and the things of the past and the things we've gone through and the doubt and the worry and the stress and the sleep disorders and all the other things that begin to cloud our mind. We're going to kind of dive into this a little bit because one of the things that I want to do by the time I am finished here is I want to be able to then give you such powerful tools, and I know what's going to happen. You're going to begin to report back to me, and it's a process in slow steps, slowly but slowly, to begin to gain the momentum of transformation and change in any area of your life. So he began to talk to me about Adam and how Adam then, the first thing the Lord asked him to do was to define the animals in the kingdom, the birds of the air, the cattle, every crawling, creeping thing, which he did. And I can only imagine how long that must have taken to do that. I find it very interesting that before Eve came onto the scene, that Adam needed to, one, have a job, J-O-B, in order to have a wife, so he can take care of her. But also, two, he defined all the animals. And when he saw Eve, what did he instantly do? He defined her. You are woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It is such an amazing thing when we begin to learn how to take back the power, the dominion, and the authority to begin to define your life. Because for some of us, all of our life, other people or other things or circumstances or hurts or wounds or childhood have defined who we were to this point. And one of the things that we're told is put it in the past, bury it. Seriously? I can see things raveled that affect all areas of our life. So there's markers that I look for. And any time that I see lack that is in my life, we are not designed, we are not built, and we are not hardwired to have lack into our life. So anytime I work with people in counseling and consulting, when we talk about areas of lack, we're going to bump into a heart belief system that's usually subconscious and wedged deep inside that they don't even know about. And I actually just walked through a big one just a few weeks ago. So I took myself through a session with the Lord, and it was incredible. So I'm going to speak to you just very vulnerably and very honestly of getting to be able to go into the promised land and getting your prayers answered. So in Genesis, it says in Genesis 2:18-20, I love this because it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, everything was brought to Adam to see what he would call them, how he would define them. So, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So what or who is defining you? If it's not the Lord, then these are markers that I encourage my clients to begin to write down on a piece of paper. The things that you hear, one of the first tools that I can give you is that the Lord had me walk through in this incredible journey with him, is to become aware. So 24/7, even when we're sleeping, our subconscious thoughts are running through our minds. And how many times have you been driving and heard this weird thought that you were thinking, right? We've all been there. But what we do is we basically ignore them because it's just chatter inside our head. It's actually things in the subconscious, and the neuroplasticity, which I've been studying, has been actually stored as memory. So when there's a trigger, when there's a pain that's coming up from the past, there's a trigger, you're bumping into a memory. And what a trigger is a pain that has not been heard, has not been healed, and has not been seen. So this is what we're learning on this journey as we go through. And I love that because in Genesis 3:10, so he, Adam, said, I want to talk about this because one of the things that we sometimes are so moving in and don't even realize it are some of the things, the markers that hold us back. So when I hear about things and listen to your dialogue, so when you start hearing yourself say things like, I can't believe I did that. You know, that was really stupid. Oh, gosh, I'm just not going to get it, am I? These are actually not casual conversations that are going on. These are actually heart belief systems that are in operation and is giving you the opportunity to start catching what's going on in your mind. Why? Because what heals us and what takes away pain is if we can get truth and love to that area of that lie and where that pain is stored. In order to get pain out of your life, we have to bring truth and we have to bring love. Those are the two must-haves. There's no way of getting around that. So what I like in when I read this and the Lord took me to this with Adam, we all know the story in Adam 3:10. So Adam said, remember they did what they weren't supposed to do. They were not supposed to eat from the tree of life. And they both did. And they hid from the Lord. And you'll find that this is common and we do it all the time. When people can be in the spirit of stupid, what I call it. We've all been there. What will they usually do? They won't come to church. They won't pick up the phone calls from the friends. They're in hiding. Why are they hiding? Because of shame and guilt. Shame and guilt are a huge, huge crusher of your future. And that's why the Lord keeps saying, remember your future. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And one of the things that helped me as a visual, because I'm a seer and I see things, is I saw a movie a long time ago, and I think it was the first Men in Black, but there was this scene in it where this cat had this collar on, and in the collar they were kept trying to looking for the galaxy, Orion, I think it was called, and it was in this little tiny ball. And when you see the clip on this movie, you can see an entire galaxy within this small sphere. And as I watched that, I left the theater because the presence of the Lord was all over me. And I realized that that's actually what's inside of us. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is within. And when I got that visual and I began to think of the kingdom as a galaxy, as a kingdom that was inside of me, that really began to change so much of how I saw things. So in Adam, as we read how he answered the Lord, he said, because the Lord said, Adam, where are you? He often will say that to us. And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam should have said, Lord, I was afraid, so I hid because I did something wrong, because I did something you told me not to do. Shame says, because I was bad, because I did something wrong, because I... Shame will always turn it inwards. So this is a marker as you begin to check your own language and the things that you say and the things that come out of your heart. Because there are so many heart belief systems. And when we begin to work with the heart belief systems, we begin to see people's lives transform and turn around like crazy, like we've never saw before. So anything that defines you from the outside of the Word of God, you are upside down. So I hear things all the time as I'm working with people and as I'm consulting with people. And you'll hear things like, if it's the will of God, I guess it's not the timing of the Lord. Is this sounding familiar to anybody? Mm-hmm. I guess that really wasn't for me. If only I had a husband. If only I had a house. If only I had the new career. What you are basically saying at the root of that is something is missing on the inside of you. You have an entire kingdom on the inside of you, so nothing can possibly be missing. What's happening is we've been learned and we've taught to look at the world from the outside circumstances, thinking if we can fix this or have nice people around us or nice things or great budgets or what have you, then we will be happy. Then we will be fulfilled. Then we will be whole. Then we will be satisfied. That is a lie from the pit of hell because you already have fullness. You already have it on the inside. But every time I begin to work with people regarding their finances and why they seem to get through a ceiling and they get stuck and they can't seem to pass through a certain threshold of finances, and you'll find, if I talk to any one of you, you'll say, yeah, I start doing really, really well, and then boom, I seem to get stuck here. Or the more money I make, it doesn't matter because it goes out just as quickly. as when I was making less. So when I begin to hear those stories, I will bump into a heart belief system that's stored inside of them that is causing them to stay away from their future, their destiny, their call, and their purpose because they're believing a lie. So I'm going to bump into some really big lies that are inside there. Guaranteed. One of the other lies that I hear as a single woman, I hear single women all the time telling me, and sometimes even crying, sometimes even shaking, where they're saying, well, because I'm single, I can't be used in ministry. And I'm like, then get another church. I can't comprehend that, especially because of the men that the Lord has put around my life, and is particularly Pastor Gary. This is the man that is going to encourage everybody, who is a champion for women, who will see your call and your gift and set you where you need to be, and a man who is not intimidated to share his platform. It is unbelievable when I look at just some of the circumstances that I have changed to, because for a long time, I lived to make sure that my spouse was happy. Was he satisfied? Because one of the things that I learned as a little girl, and one of the masks that we hide behind, which is also at the root of it, is shame, is performance. Pastor talked a lot about pastors who would call that were having such a difficult time because the seats were vacant, and they just were having a hard time getting into the flow of the message because they pulled a lot on the people. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, because I'm not. But what I'm saying is that when we are in performance mode and we're performing for people, those are the type of things that 'll become important to you. Performance is something that I learned from a little girl. And what happened with me is I had overheard a man in my mother's life. She was a single woman, and she was just trying so hard under the circumstances that she was in with two young kids. And she was 19. In passing the room to get up to go to the bathroom or drink a water, I can't remember, one of the two that we do as little kids, I was about 5 years old. And I heard him trying to talk her into giving us up for adoption so that she can now have a chance at life and go off and travel with him and do all this. Well, as a tiny little girl, as little kids, we have absolutely no way to process such information. So in my little kid brain, with my little kid emotions, what I thought is, if I'm a good enough little girl, my mommy won't want to get rid of me. That's what created the performance in me. And what I've had to learn and walk through is that I am loved, I am loved, I am loved, I am loved, never because of anything I do or can do, but just simply because of who I am. So where I was performing to my employees, in my relationships, I was the first one to show up and the last one to go. You can depend and count on me all the time. And I still have that, but there is a balance that I have. So these are some of the things that we do and some of the masks that we wear. There's some people where we call it the prickly jacket. And you see those people that are so prickly, you just want to kind of stay away from them. That's a defense. These are all survival modes of protection that we run in and that we move in and we don't even know. I meet pastors, I meet people in leadership especially, that are stuck in certain areas of their life and they can't figure out why. And we begin to go in and we begin to find these hidden belief systems that are operating in their life and they don't even know. I never knew that I had a performance mentality. And also, when we have a victim mentality, if we were ever victimized and it was never healed, you'll hear people in a victim mentality, oh, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if God would do that for me. You will hear this doubt within their mind that's coming from a victim mentality. There's not power in that. There's a lot of doubt and uncertainty. And we are not wired for doubt and uncertainty. We are wired for clarity. And one of the things that the Lord does, the original word, and what happens is Satan, it tells us in Revelation, Satan, what's his name? As we like to call him here. I like that. So Satan, he is the accuser of the brethren, correct? One of his favorite things to do is to accuse us and have us do accusations at each other. And right now, the world is filled with judgment and criticism. And at the root of judgment and criticism, judgment is shame. Because if I judge you first, then you won't see what's inside of me and you won't have the chance or opportunity to judge me, especially the more prickly they are. You just can't ever get close to them. Then you go into people who are very critical, and we see it all the time. People come to church. I don't like the music. I don't like the pastor. I don't like his hair. I didn't like her outfit she was wearing. And we think, you know, wow, you know, sorry about that, and that's really, really strange. It's called an inner critic. How did that inner critic get there? That little baby had so much criticism when it was growing up, and it's still wreaking havoc within its life because it's not seen or heard or healed. So people who are very critical, in order to be an outer critic, you have to have an inner critic going on in the inside. So one of the things as they've been teaching me as I've been going through this class, it's called Common Humanity. And it begins to change such perspective when you're dealing with people, and it gives you the grace and it gives you the patience to realize that something, they got here somehow, they got this way somehow. And if any of you have seen that movie, The Shack, there's that scene in there where you can see how he's being beaten by his father. So then in the scene where the Holy Spirit is showing him this little boy who's getting beaten, and he's getting outraged, and he's like, oh my gosh, we have to do something. Stop it. Stop that, you know, from getting beaten. And the Lord says, that's your father. You're going to see a pattern repeat, patterns and cycles. So one of the first things the Lord said to me in my healing process, years before he started taking me through the actual healing, he said, daughter, I want you to begin to understand and identify patterns and cycles that are going on in your life. You keep picking the same types of friends. They keep turning their back on you. They keep doing this or the other. They'll use, you know, the word says that, you know, confess your sins to one to another. Because when you do, you remove the shame. And then that can't be played with in your heart. But unfortunately, often we pick the wrong people to confess our sins to. And I know you've had the experience that they've used it against you as a weapon. And I'm so sorry. I am so sorry for those of you who had that. So confess it to the Lord, and the Lord will begin as we heal. We begin to bring in a new type of friends, new type of community, new type of connections. And if you don't believe me, almost all my friends in my life are non-existent. And the ones that are coming in are open-hearted, and they're so loving and lovable and regulated, and they're not operating in offenses and all that. Because I often tell people, you never know who you're really around until you disagree with them. You'll see something really come out. And then often the victim mentality comes out. So with the victim mentality, there always has to be a villain. How many of you heard people talk about something? Well, they did this and they're just da-da-da-da-da-da. That's coming from a victim mentality. So that is we villainize people. So one of the things that I learned is every week I have to send in what's called a trigger log about the things that trigger me, because we're identifying, okay, what is this? A trigger, when it comes up, is something to definitely pay attention to, because it's very powerful information that your heart and your mind and your thoughts are about to give you. And when you have a trigger that comes up, what we usually say is, they just know how to get on my last nerve. Right? They just know how to push my buttons. They just, you know, they expect the world from me. And we hear all these things, and people get triggered. And you've heard me say this before, but the secret about a trigger is a trigger was already inside of you. People are accidentally bumping into them or stepping all over them. Most of the time, unintentional, sometimes intentional. So when we begin to understand and watch what's happening and the things and the mindsets that we're coming out of, everything that I'm talking about is a mindset. Renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. Why? Because what is he saying? You've been born again. You have entered into the kingdom of God. I can see what you've experienced. I see when you were beaten. I see when you were told, if you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about. You were told when you were crying to cry, to go to your room, where what you needed was affirmation, and you needed to be attuned to, and you needed to be validated in the things that you were feeling. When you can begin to turn around and validate people about how they're feeling, you will watch so much connection begin to happen within people's hearts. And Jesus was one of the most prominent people that was so attuned with people. When we begin to hear, clear our hearts, we are able to be in the presence with ourselves, with people, but mostly we can go deeper into the presence of the Lord, because there's not all these thoughts that are going around. How hard is it for you to shut your phone off and sit with the Lord? People say, oh my gosh, how do you meditate for all those hours? And I remember I had to do it in 10-minute increments at first because my mind was so busy and it was so active because I had been in survival mode for years. Survival mode is what causes the anxiety, the depression, the doubt, the worry, the stress, the sleep disorders. So the word tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A two-souled man is unstable in all of their ways. What is in the soul? It's our emotions, our feelings, and our thoughts. This is where it's going to start. When the Lord began to share with me and tell me about the power of our thoughts, I was watching one of those amazing artists painting the picture of the Lord. And when you're watching them on stage during worship, you guys have seen this. It's so incredible. And you have zero clue whatsoever for a long time what this is possibly going to be. And I met one of these girls at a beautiful bridal shower I was at. So I went in and I watched her video, and I was just mesmerized by the worship and by how she was expressing, painting this, you know, 10-foot-tall painting. And as I was watching her, the Lord said this to me, and some of you have heard me talk about this. He said, daughter, is she starting the painting? And I knew I was going to walk into something, but it was an answer he wanted to show me. And I said, yes, Lord, it seems obvious she's starting the painting. And he said, no, daughter, she's finishing the painting. She already saw it in her mind. That's why when I say, remember your future, is getting into the Word of God and is going into the lies. So the instead that I wear around my neck, when you hear that you're not going to make it, that this is as good as it's going to get, that you're not going to be good enough for somebody or somebody, that's why you're still single and everyone else is getting married. Those are lies that are going on, and it's actually the accusation and the accuser. And the thing about accusation is an accusation never will tell you who you are. An accusation will only tell you who you're not. When it said in the original word for the accuser who comes upon us, that original word for accuser in the word in the original manuscript meant, the meaning of the word accuser was categorizes. When someone accuses you, they have put you into a box and they have categorized you. And the problem is we get into agreement in those boxes, and most of the time we don't even know that we're in agreement. So the things that keep us stuck, the things that we can't move forward with, is because we are secretly in agreement with something that happened or something that somebody said over our life. And it is time to face these things, and time to face the doubts, time to face the thoughts that go inside of you that are going day in and day out. So what is the power to define in the markers? So anything that is defining us from the outside, and for most of us, is our entire life and our entire experiences. Where we grew up, the neighborhood we grew up, the alcoholics in the family, the child abuse, the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, the bad relationships, the bad breakups, the working really, really hard and not seem to be able to get ahead. there is something that is going on inside. And with the promised land, which is what we were promised, because he said to Abraham, he took Abraham to a hill. And what God said to Abraham is, look up, lift your eyes up, and tell me what you see. You have to see it. You have to see it. So often we go through all day long. By the time we get home, we realize we never tuned into ourselves or to the Lord, because everything else took our time. One of the markers when you are in what's defining you and the things that are sideways is something that may be a surprise to people, but we call it self-abandonment. So when we were abandoned as children, the parents didn't have time, they weren't home, they were working a lot, they were working two jobs. When you needed something, they weren't there. So we end up growing up doing self-abandonment. And one time, just a few years ago, I was in my kitchen getting stuff prepared for my puppies. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, I take better care of my puppies than I do for myself. And the word tells us to love thy neighbor as you love thyself. So when we keep saying no to ourselves and we keep self-abandoning, that means our capacity to love on others, to be there for others, to attune for others is going to be dismal at best. So that's why he tells us to love thy neighbors, to love thyself. If you're not in love with God's creation and how God made you and he's inside you, I knew you before I framed you, before I placed you in your mother's womb. That means he knew us by spirit. He knew us spirit to spirit. So we're going back to that and attuning into who God says that we are. So anything that we are looking for to the outside, when the economy changes, when Republicans get into the White House, when Democrats get into the White House, when liberals get into the White House, those are not our sources. And anything that you give thought to, or the pain from people in the past and what they did and what they say, what you have done is you've given power to something that's on the outside of you. Anytime that you are wondering why can't I, why can't I have this, why is this not happening, it must not be the will of God, there's a lie. If you don't know what the will of God is, then find out what it is. That doesn't even make any sense to me. It must not be the Lord's will. It must not be, that's an assumption. And that's going based on your perception, not what the Word of God says. So get into the Word. So every time you're dealing with something, self-esteem, confidence, identity, look up every single scripture in the Word of God and write down everything you're feeling to the left and write your instead down to the right by who God says you are, who God says you're going, what God says you're going to be. We look at, you know, even in the Bible, we look at, I'm the lowest of the lowest on the totem pole. You know, we look into Gideon and just where he was. He actually told God how much of a failure he was. But God is saying, I'm not talking to who you are, how you're known here on earth. I am talking to you how you're known in the kingdom of God. And if you take anything from me today, know that that's the conversation that we need to be happening. Begin to get in and begin to see how God sees you, how you are known in the kingdom of God. So there's times where I've given a prophetic word where everybody has thought that I missed it because they know that this guy has cheated on his wife or filed bankruptcy 3 times. I am not speaking to who he is on earth. I'm speaking to the child of God that's inside of him. And that's what we are doing. Oh, I hope you see this. I hope that you see this. And I'm going to tell you why, as our time is up, why our prayers did not get answered. And this was something just about a week ago that the Lord showed me, and it absolutely wrecked me. And I said, Lord, let me teach this. So one of the things in my study group that I was learning about was expectations, and expectations are good. And Pastor teaches about expectations, but I know it is faith and belief. So when I read the word expectation, I triggered, and I thought, okay, I don't like that word. What's going on? So as I sat with the Lord and I went back, what I kept remembering is what I kept hearing from a little girl. Your expectations are too high. You expect too much out of life. you expect things that you're probably never going to have or see. I had to go into those secret belief systems and knock the living daylights out of them and turn them upside right by the word of God, because that is what people said to me, not the word of God. Because the word of God says, I will give you more than you can ask, think, or even dream. What's even higher than that? Imagination. Imagination is the biggest gift that you have. If you can see it, if you can feel it, if you can imagine it, I am telling you right now, take that check to the bank and just buckle up, because things are about to sail in your life. So as the Lord was beginning to show me about daughter, I'm going to begin to give you the answers of why people's prayers aren't answered. Every time I talk to a prayer warrior, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm doing a Daniel fast, I'm doing this. I walked around the house 7 times with the property I believe in. I drew a red marker to represent the blood of God. And not that there's anything wrong with any of that, because they're not. Those are expressions that we do, and I think they're beautiful. And prayer and fasting is so necessary. That is such an important part of our connection and worship with God. So expectation, the Lord said, daughter, that was your perception of expectation. But daughter, isn't belief the same thing as expecting? And I went, oh my gosh, faith and belief. He said, isn't belief and faith the exact same thing as expecting? And I said, oh my goodness, it is. It is. And I began to feel this breakthrough coming up. And he said, daughter, the reason why people's prayers are not answered, it's the double soul things that are going on. I think this is the will of God, but I'm not sure. Will he do this for me? I'm not quite sure. I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if this is going to happen. I've really, really tried. I've done the best that I can. I prayed so much and I've done all this. And he said, daughter, you don't understand. This whole entire time up to now, you've had your foot on the brake and the accelerator at the exact same time. So the double-mindedness and the two-soulness, you've got the brake and the accelerator at the identical time happening. So that's why I can't move forward. So until you align and begin to agree with me and get out of agreement from the hurts and the pains of the past, get them seen, get them heard, get them healed, so that you can move forward and plow ahead. Because we don't even realize that so many of us have our foot on the brake and the accelerator at the exact same time. Church, it is time to change. Church, it is time to soar. Church, this is not a fairy tale. Church, this isn't about being a slot machine or whatever else. This is about the purposes of God and how you can begin to manifest and who you are called to be and how you're going to be sourced. And even though he may bring outside people, that's never what we look for. So you remember, the moment you begin to look at, I'll be happy when I'm married. I'll be happy when I get this house. I'll be happy when I change jobs. The moment you are looking outside of yourself, you have given power, control, and authority to something outside of you that is now dictating your life and is running amok through every relationship and every circumstance in your life. So church, I just started unpacking this. So we will do this again, I'm sure. And I hope that this blessed you, and I hope that there's takeaways and keys that you are going to take with you, and that these things are going to begin to change and to transform your mind. Because if you cannot change your mind and your perceptions, you will not change your life. And this is what I'm going to leave you with. This is the biggest secret that I have learned. Your outside world and what is happening around you in your outside world is solely a reflection of what's been going on your inside world. I can sit with each and every one of you and we'll begin to unravel. The things happening outside is because they're happening, the emotions on the inside. This is power and authority and dominion, and it's yours and it's inside. Start changing your life and transforming and going after the things that you've been called to do, the places you've been called to go, the people that you've been called to connect with and to network with for divine purposes. And I just want to encourage you, for those who are watching, those who are you who are here, if this is ministered to you, it's now the time to worship the Lord with our giving and our sowing. And when the Lord, when we sow on a good ground, when we sow on something that is ministered to our heart, our mind, and our soul, something that can help us transform, which is every Wednesday and every Sunday when Pastor is here, that is the ground that you want to sow seed from, because this is a ground and a soil that will manifest and will multiply and will produce the things you're going after. If you're going after transformation, if you're going after to be able to go into your promised land, the children of Israel could not go into the promised land because they never got out of the mindset of being a slave and a servant. The promised land was to be a child of God. He was not going to allow that mindset to poison that promised land. He couldn't. It was illegal and against the kingdom law. It was a promise, not a place to go and repeat all your memories of what it was like to be a slave. Church, rise up. Church, rise up. And this is a yes and an amen.